eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone
with the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al and Brian.
The 49ers have hired a defensive coordinator and an assistant head coach. I'm Al Sackle with Brian Rennick. This is the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast, part of the Odyssey Network. Brian, Brandon Staley gets hired, not in the way maybe we thought he was going to get hired. Nick Sorensen's also hired. Got a lot of thoughts on that. I was a little surprised when it came through. What were your initial thoughts when you saw that come through Twitter or wherever you saw it? What was it, Saturday morning? Sunday morning?
It was Saturday morning. I would say that I was the embodiment of the Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David meme of meh. Right? Like, you know, it's interesting. You know, we read Mike Silver's article last week and went over it. And those were the two names that Silver mentioned in his article. Like, those were the only two names that he mentioned outside of mentioning who else that they had interviewed. And so it felt like this was coming. What I didn't realize, and that's on me, is how much time Nick Sorensen spent in Seattle prior to becoming the 1 year special teams coordinator in Jacksonville.
8 years, right? Wasn't it? Eight?
Yeah. Yeah. Carroll? Yeah. And so I didn't realize that he had spent that much time. And so it makes a lot more sense to me. Again, you know, Lynch kept saying, you know, we know who we are. We know who we want to be. And it feels like to me that Kyle Shanahan is trying to essentially kind of have his cake and eat it too from 2017. And what I mean by that is when Shanahan was hired by the 49ers, his first call for defensive coordinator was to Vic Fangio, who was at the time the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, and the Bears weren't going to let him out of his contract. And so he kind of switched gears, and that's when he went to Robert Saleh to run that Seattle-style defense. So obviously Shanahan has respect for Fangio and that style of defense. and the Pete Carroll, you know, cover three, four down linemen style defense that they ended up going with and have since really kind of sunk a lot of resources into positions that are important for that type of defense and less important for a Vic Fangio 3-4 bear front, you know, type of defense. But what you also have to remember is in 2017, when Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, his top lieutenant was an outside linebackers coach by the name of Brandon Staley. And so there is that connection there. And Staley became, you know, became the Rams defensive coordinator coming from Chicago in 2020, and then was a phenom, and then ended up getting his head coaching hire. And so I think this is a way for Kyle Shanahan to get some of the principles, especially the coverage principles from Vic Fangio's style of defense, infused into the style of defense that they already run. And with Sorensen's experience, both with Pete Carroll and now the past two seasons in San Francisco, I think that's his way of saying, like, hey, we're still sticking with what we know and what we're comfortable with, but we've got this guy who's been a defensive play caller before to help prop up this guy who's never done it before. And then on top of that, might be able to add some of those unique coverage principles that have started to permeate throughout the league. And so it feels like this is the route that always was going to be. I just think we might have got some of the names wrong. Because again, I thought if it was internal, it was going to be Bullocks just for the length of time that he's been
there. Yeah. But, you know, they took their shots elsewhere, it sounds like, too. It sounds like they reached out to Spagnuolo and they give Belichick a call. Yep. Just seeing what they can, you know, shoot for the moon. And that if not, maybe they have this in their back pocket or whatever. My initial thought, so I was expecting Sorensen or Staley. I would not have been surprised with either one of those named the DC. I was not expecting to see the double picture in Adam Schefter's Twitter feed. And that Staley's going to come on for assistant head coaching role, which I think is hilarious. And I'll talk about that in a little while. But my initial thought on the defensive coordinator was like, okay, first and foremost, Kyle Shanahan has earned the benefit of the doubt. The man has three of his assistant coaches coaching in the NFL. So he's had to hire three defensive coordinators because two of them have been so successful that they've gone on to NFL head coaching job. Now, two of the three, you can say, were successful. Steve Wilks just wasn't a good fit. I don't know if you want to call him unsuccessful as much as he wasn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. But this is the fourth one. But Kyle's got a great track record. When he hired Brian Griese, we were like, Brian Griese? He was on TV. Purdy's look great. Griese's the quarterback coach.
Yep.
So I'm not going to sit here and be like, nitpick, well, I don't like this Kyle, or what was he doing? But my initial thought was, oh, okay, well, I roll with Kyle on this stuff. I do. And he's earned the benefit of the doubt, and we'll see. But also I was like, well, shit, Sorensen's a little bit risky. And here's the reason I think that. We don't know until we know. Nick Sorensen can be great. So let's start with this, Brian. Who is Nick Sorensen? Well, like you said, he coached with Seattle, defensive backs with Pete Carroll for 8 years. So he knows that system. And then I think it was 2021. He was a special teams coach with Jacksonville. That worried me a little bit because I was like, I know he played safety, I think it was.
Yep.
And he played in the NFL and he played special teams. So he's got some special teams experience. But I was kind of like, okay, well, why wasn't he a defensive coach that year? So that I was a little bit, again, just my brain's working here. But then he goes to the Niners. What's happened on the Niners that have shown the 49ers that this guy can be the defensive coordinator? Well, he runs the turnover meetings with the team. It's very important to him. He talked about it on Ross Tucker's podcast, about how Peanut Tillman changed the game. So for them to trust him to do that, that says a lot. He's worked with the defensive backs. He coached linebackers when it was Johnny Holland, the Niners linebackers coached his name. When he was out with a medical issue, Sorensen coached linebackers. So they've seen him coach different parts of the defense. And clearly, the players liked him and responded to him. Because let me tell you what, I think the players had a lot to do with this because they did not respond to Steve Wilks. Yeah. So I don't think they made the hire, but I think it was definitely, you know, thought of and considered because it wasn't a good response to Steve Wilks. So I was a little surprised, but why did I think it was risky? I think it's risky because it is an unknown product. and he could be great. So people said to me when I said that, well, Al, Robert Saleh was an unknown product. He was. Let me tell you why him and Ryan's are a little bit different to me. To me, and you can have whatever opinion you want to. This is why they're a little bit different to me. Robert Saleh was a first-time defensive coordinator coming into a team that was rebuilding. So if it took him 1 or 2 years to get his legs underneath him, it was fine because that was the expectation for the whole team. And it did take Saleh a couple years to get his legs underneath him because after 2018, we're like, is he the guy? We didn't know. Turns out he did so well in the next 2 years, he's a head coach. Now, Ryan, same thing. He was never a defensive coordinator. Well, no. But again, that season, the Niners were playing for the Super Bowl, but they had drafted Trey Lance. There was a little bit of retooling going on. I felt like, again, okay, we can bring a guy in and work for a couple of years because we're doing that with our quarterback as well. Also, Ryans was a green dot guy when he played. And I also think guys like D'Amico Ryans just don't come along a lot. And the guy was a rising star, and he did a terrific job as a head coach. So I think those two situations are a little bit different. They're not one and the same. And I thought with this season, this is a last dance type year for a lot of the guys on the team. So I was a little bit surprised. I would have been, if it was Brandon Staley, I'd be like, I get it. Like, I know he's got some different principles and things like that, but I would have been like, okay, this guy's been a defensive coordinator on a Rams team and he did really well. He's been a head coach. They went with a vet, but I was a little bit surprised with that. Not saying it's a bad hire. Again, I ride with what Kyle thinks here. Who am I to say after all the success he's had? But I just think it could be risky in that sense. Again, just when you think it through. The Brandon Staley stuff, I was like, what the fuck? What? So my initial thought on that was, okay, well, is he going to come in and kind of be looking over Sorensen's shoulder? And whether it is or isn't, you can't help but think that, right? I mean, he's a rookie defensive coordinator. Is he going to be here to make sure and that sort of thing? But, you know, again, we'll see. Again, Anthony Lynn, here's the thing too, like, Staley is a hot button dude, right? Did we even know Anthony Lynn was there? Did you even know Anthony Lynn was there most of the time?
No.
I did. So we're probably never going to know Brandon Staley's there most of the time, except that it's Brandon Staley and his head coaching tenure was a circus. Those press conferences at the end was a circus. You know what else is funny to me, Brian? Sorry, I know I'm on a tangent. Kyle is so conservative, right? And Brandon Staley is just a shit show when it comes to fourth down. So our buddy John Chapman today posted something about how Kyle is conservative, and it was I forget what the stat was, but it had to do with 2-point conversions, and Kyle doesn't really go for him. So he said, Kyle's definitely not a gambler. So I thought to myself, yeah, Kyle's not a gambler, and he literally brought in Worm from Rounders. Have you seen Rounders?
I love Rounders.
Rounders is one of my
favorites. I love Rounders.
So if you haven't seen Rounders, it's from like 1998. Awesome movie. Phenomenal. It's got Matt Damon, Edward Norton, and the premise of it is Matt Damon's like a recovering gambling
addict. Hey. And John Malkovich.
John Malkovich.
Yes.
Pay the man his money. He's gotten his shit together, and Edward Norton gets out of jail. He's his friend from way back, comes back and just blows his whole fucking life up. Like, Norton owes gambling debts, and he just sucks Matt Damon's character back into the underworld. And Edward Norton was Worm. And that's what Brandon Staley reminds me of right now. Is he's just, they basically hired Worm, where Kyle is ultra conservative and Staley is just like whispering in his ear, like,
degenerate gambler.
Yeah, just an absolute degenerate. Like just go for it, dude. Like, just go for it. Like, Kyle's like, oh, man, that practice was shit. And Brandon's, you know what makes me feel good after a bad practice, Kyle? You know what makes me feel good? 7-step drops on fourth down from inside the 10. Cutting your punter, because who needs it? That's what makes me feel good. It's hilarious. They're going to need an intervention with Kyle halfway through the season. Like, Kyle, you can't cut Wisnowski. Brandon said I could. Brandon said we don't need to punt.
We're not going
to
punt. We're never going to punt
the other way now. No, but I think whatever. Again, we're not going to fucking know he's there. I hope in November anyway.
Well, and I think, you know, I think to a certain extent, and again, we obviously don't know what the dynamic is going to be. But I have a good idea of what I feel like it is. And I think what it is Kyle Shanahan is widely recognized for his offensive acumen. You know, he's an offensive genius, right? He's one of the offensive geniuses in the NFL. But Brandon Staley also has a reputation as a very bright defensive mind in the NFL. And I believe it was Barrows. It was one of the athletic writers. So it was either Barrows or Lombardi or one of their national guys, you know, when they wrote there was an article that came out on The Athletic about the hiring, and different reporters had different areas that they covered, Barrows, Lombardi, and a couple others. But, you know, one of the stories that came out was that in, what was it, 2021, mm-hmm. was it 21 or 20? No, 22. When the 49ers, or I don't know, regardless, when the 49ers went down to LA to have joint practices with the Chargers, and there was time during each practice that Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Brandon Staley shared the field together. And both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan came away from those meetings very impressed by Brandon Staley and just how bright he is, and some of the defensive philosophies and insights and things that he had. And they were just very impressed by him. And Kyle even said, you know, it came out that Shanahan was really impressed with the game plan that Staley implemented against the 49ers. I don't even know if it was that season or last season, when they came into Santa Clara shorthanded and really made it difficult on the 49ers. One of the complaints in LA with Brandon Staley was his relationship with the players. It kind of seems mm-hmm. like, to a certain extent, he's not a player's coach, right? They absolutely quit on him. And that, you know, people keep bringing up that Raiders game, and I'm like, you can't bring up that Raiders game. That team literally quit. Like, that's why he was fired. That team quit on him. But one of the things we do know is that Sorensen leads these meetings called the ball meetings, right? Where it is all about creating turnovers and protecting the ball. So it's both sides of the ball. It's not just defense, it's defense and offense. One of the things Matt Maiocco on a recent episode of 49ers Talk brought this up, and I thought this was really interesting. I didn't know this. The last two seasons, in both seasons, the 49ers have given up less passing touchdowns than turnovers they've created. That's a huge stat. That's impressive. Wow. They've created more turnovers than given up passing touchdowns both
Holy
seasons.
Holy shit.
That's crazy. Yeah, impressive. And that's, again, what Sorensen was a part of. And so my thought on this is, what are Sorensen's weaknesses? What are Staley's weaknesses? If we combine these two guys, can we create essentially one defensive coordinator that, you know, gives us the best of both worlds, which is Sorensen is the guy that's going to connect with the players. He's going to lead the meetings. He's going to be on the sideline. Based on his age, the fact that he's a former player, I have a feeling he brings a lot of energy. The defense feeds off stuff like that. I imagine Brandon Staley is probably going to be up at the booth on game days, right? The eye in the booth, seeing what's going on the offensive side. To me, this is Brandon Staley and his football acumen and his bright defensive philosophies coming in to help Sorensen game plan, prepare defensive game plans, prepare for specific opponents. Brandon Staley, regardless of how things went against the Chargers, always played the Chiefs well on the defense. Always
in the kitchen, though. I mean, that's my thing too. Like,
maybe
if they have two of them, isn't that a bit of a red? And I'm just playing devil's advocate. You need two of them, isn't that a bit of a red flag?
And I don't know that I don't know that they feel like they need two of them. I think they feel like the two of them together make a very solid head of the defensive side of the football. But at the same time, if for whatever reason things do go south or Sorensen does struggle in the role, you've got somebody right there that you could go to. Now, does that make things more difficult for Sorensen? Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, hard to say it doesn't, but I don't feel like we've heard outside of just a lack of connection with Wilkes, between Shanahan and Wilkes and between the players and Wilkes. We've rarely heard of any discontent amongst 49ers coaching staffs. And so I don't know. Like you said, I think Kyle Shanahan has earned the benefit of the doubt. And like I said, I feel like this is the opportunity to bring somebody, an outside influence in, but still maintain the core principles and the core ideals of the defense that you've developed over the past seven seasons.
Yeah, let's take a break, and then I got a couple thoughts on Worm, why I think he's such a hot button guy.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Okay, so I think the reason why Worm is I'm gonna call Staley Worm for the rest. I just don't know if people are gonna deal with it. Because this isn't you're not bringing in Vic Fangio in this kind of role, right? Where he's just highly respected, or just anybody like that, just somebody who's like, all right, highly respected dude, like bring him in. He knows what he's doing. He's run a team before. Anthony Lynn was a respected guy. You know, I don't think I have anything bad to say about Anthony Lynn. You know what I mean? Like he didn't come across as a punchline. Most guys don't. Unfortunately, right now, Staley comes across as a punchline, fair or unfair. And the reason for that is one, his fourth downs. That's why I'm calling him Worm. He was one of the most careless head coaches I have ever seen with going for it on fourth down and everything else to the point of stupidity, of absolute stupidity. So that's the one thing. The game it was against the Raiders, right? The last game of the season where they both would have gotten in if they tied. And the Raiders were really playing for a tie, and Staley got cute, or when they were like, okay, fuck you. We're going to kick field goal and kick you guys out of the playoffs. Again, being stupid like that, that kept your team out of the playoffs. Then you get to the playoffs and you blow a gigantic halftime lead with this special quarterback you supposedly have, right? Then that's another, thing on your resume that looks bad. And then the game against the Raiders you brought up, that's embarrassing. I know they quit on him, but still 63 on a Thursday night to the Raiders. Embarrassing. And he lost his job after that. And he had those press conferences that were like a circus where they're asking him if he's going to call the D and everything else. So you look at Staley, he's a hot button guy. He's a polarizing guy. He's not somebody that you're like, oh yeah, that's, you know, I respect that guy. He's been a bit of a punchline, but one thing, you know, you mentioned the Chiefs. I think that has something to do with it. I think the Niners right now maybe have it in their head a little bit. Like, this is the team we have to beat. We have to beat the Chiefs. And he's been in a division. I'd have to look up what his record is against the Chiefs. I don't know. But he's been in a division with the Chiefs for 3 years coaching against them. So maybe they think he's somebody that can help with that. But, you know, we'll see. We'll talk about it this offseason because we have a really long time to talk about this stuff. And there could be, as there are with most new coaches, you know, a little bit of a learning curve in the beginning. That happens. We'll see where they are in November, December, and January. That's the important thing. But we're going to talk about it. But at the end of the day, I think we'll see. That's the most you can say with it, is we'll see how it works. This isn't an organization that is a dumpster fire. This is an organization that's been in the NFC Championship for the last five games, years, and two of the last five Super Bowls. So they tend to know what they're doing. we'll see. That's the best we can do. We're going to talk about it. Everybody is, but the proof's going to be on the field in 6 months or 8 months or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah. He actually only won. He only beat the Chiefs once.
So he's 1-5 against them.
Yeah. So he only beat them once. Although actually that last one, I don't think he was coaching then. So 1-4, but regardless.
Okay.
But you know, in the not this season, but the previous two, when the Chiefs still had a prolific offense, he still held the Chiefs to low 20s, which was, you know, at the time a decent feat. But yeah, you know, and I know that he's coming in with assistant head coach role. And I think part of that is, look, we don't really want to give you DC, but we want you on the staff. Here's this, you know, here's this title, right? In order to get him to come. Cause I mean, the Chargers are still paying him like $4 or $5 million next year to not coach for them. So I don't think they have to pay him very much, which is, you know, nice for the 49ers or the Yorks at the very least. But yeah, I just, again, like I said, I feel like this was a desire to have some outside influence, but without that outside influence coming in and trying to learn the essence of this defense, we want somebody who already knows the essence of this defense and then can incorporate some of these outside ideas. And then on top of that, this guy's really bright. Let's use him to, you know, to for defensive game plans. I would venture to think, you know, what's interesting about Sorensen and Staley is that they're both former college quarterbacks. One of the most interesting things I learned about Nick Sorensen was he was the quarterback of Virginia Tech before Michael Vick. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. And then Brandon Staley was a quarterback at Dayton, you know, and so both of them understand the offensive side, obviously, very well. You can't be a quarterback if you don't understand offense. So I have to wonder if not only that, but, you know, is Brandon Staley there to also help Kyle Shanahan with some offensive game plans against some of these teams that are incorporating some of these, you know, Vic Fangio cloud coverage principles? You know, is he there to help Kyle Shanahan as well? You know, Kyle Shanahan is not going to listen to anybody about fourth down. He's going to make his own decisions. He's not going to let anyone influence him.
Staley is going to be passing him notes on the sideline.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's why he's going to be in the booth. Cause he's like, I don't need you in my ear telling me to go for it on fourth down. If he at least gets him to be a little more aggressive, I think that's a win because, you know, I don't want Kyle Shanahan to turn into, you know, Dan Campbell or Brandon Staley, but I would like him to be more like maybe a John Harbaugh, right? Who is strategically aggressive rather than recklessly aggressive. But yeah, in the end, we're just going to have to see how it goes. But I think having a bright defensive mind in the building is always a good thing. And I think the players like Sorensen and will respond to Sorensen. Like I said, he'll be on the sideline. He'll bring the energy. It's going to feel similar to what it was like with Sala and Ryan's, right? And then you've got all of this, you know, these new opportunities. And Sorensen, as a former safety, probably has some of his own ideas as well that he's probably ready to. And the other thing, and I thought this was interesting, Chris Biederman brought this up on Candlestick Chronicles. And I don't know if you read the article that came out during Super Bowl week about Kyle Shanahan and how he has cameras in every meeting room in Santa Clara. And that's something that it's something that he learned from his dad. So Mike Shanahan used to have cameras in every meeting room and every meeting was filmed and it was a live feed back to his computer. And so he could be in his office and he could hear every meeting that's going on. And if he heard something that he didn't like, he'd be able to interject. And so it wasn't so much Big Brotherish as I want all of my coaches talking the same, right? Implementing the same ideas, the same concepts, teaching the same way. And it was a way for him to be able to do that. So Kyle Shanahan does the same thing. So outside of having him in the building, he's also seen Sorensen run all of these meetings. He knows what he's like. He knows how he teaches. He knows all of these things. So he has even more knowledge about Sorensen and whether or not he has the ability to do this than anybody else does, because he's seen him do it for the last two seasons. So there's also that to keep in mind when it comes to, you know, this being an internal hire.
Yeah. And before we get out of here, I wanted to touch base a little bit. What I saw in the combine, one position really stuck out to me, and we'll get to that after this.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it, between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics, because that's who we are.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Did you watch any of the combine? Are you a combine guy? Did you watch that?
I didn't. I do like it. I just didn't have, a whole lot of time. So I followed it in terms of, like, you know, I know the superstars and, you know, all the things that happened. I know all about the wide receivers and how impressive they were and all.
Yeah.
That's
where I was going to go with it.
Yeah.
This receiver class, I know it's a really good O-line class too. Thank God for the Niners. This receiver class is loaded.
Yeah.
Loaded. You know, you didn't even have Marvin Harrison didn't participate. I don't think Neighbors did either. But you had a Roma Dunze, I think it's how to say his last name, who I love. I think he's going to be a stud. Now, I don't think the Niners, he's going to be near the Niners.
I drafted him. I drafted him by trading Brandon Ayuk to the New York Jets at pick 10, I think.
In a mock.
And Adunze was there. It was a PFF mock. And Adunze was so I took him.
The guy's got a great makeup. Like, he's a hard worker. I really like him. But there's so many good receivers and so many fast receivers. And they're talking about how deep this class is. So I just kind of got to thinking there's a lot of receivers that are about to get paid. And I think those guys will get paid. Mike Evans just signed an extension. I think it was 2 years, 50-some-odd million.
Which I'm grateful for, by the way, because I thought he was going to the Kansas City Chiefs. So
I did.
Thank you for re-signing with the Bucks.
Real possibility.
I think
Justin Jefferson's going to get paid. Chase is going to get paid.
Sure. Yeah.
I think Ayuk is going to get paid. I do believe he'll stay with the Niners. That's, you know, where I'm leaning right now. I think they're going to get that done. But I'm wondering if once you get past those real top, you know, elite or close to elite type guys, if teams are kind of like, yeah, I don't know, I'll give you a 1 year deal because this draft is loaded and we could draft two guys that, you know, could be better or whatever. And I'm thinking about it for the Niners too. Again, I don't think they're going to let Ayuk go. I hope not. But we talked last show or whatever it was that this could be Debo's last year. Mm-hmm. And I do kind of look at it that way. I don't think there's any way in hell the Niners are paying 25 plus million for two wide receivers in 2025 each, you know, so 50 million together or whatever it would be. No. I think when they resign Ayuk, the cap, it'll be low this year and you're paying Debo big. And then next year, maybe they move on from Debo and then Ayuk is getting the big money. And I hope that they take a couple guys here that can step in. I really feel, and we'll get into this more as the offseason goes on, or next couple months goes on, I should say. This is a huge 2 months for the 49ers because not only are they running it back for a last dance type thing, while they're doing that, they're also going to be retooling to stay competitive in 2025. Yeah. It's a fascinating next 2 months for me with the Niners. But I do wonder about the receivers if some teams are going to be like, oh, you know what? We're good. We'll give you a one-year deal because we're good.
Yeah, they're walking quite the fine tightrope this season, and it is either going to be an absolute home run or an absolute disaster. And obviously, we won't know until the season starts. But it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult balancing act to try and run it back with a very top heavy and older roster, and also retool for after next season when you're likely going to have to pay Brock Purdy. I'm still fascinated by that idea and what that might look like, and whether or not Brock Purdy is interested in resetting the market, or even, you know, even being in a Joe Burrow level. Like, he just strikes me as the kind of guy that's like, listen, I want my money and I know that I'm worth it, but I also, it feels like he has a little Tom Brady in him in that regard. And I've said that in the past, and obviously it'll be interesting to see, but
maybe he'll take Cole's cash. Maybe he'll
Cole stock. Give him Cole stock. That's even better.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and you bring up a great point there. This is a very loaded draft in two areas, offensive tackle, which bodes well for the 49ers, and wide receiver, which also bodes well for the 49ers, because the more receivers taken in the first round, the more tackles get pushed down, and they may have, you know, they may have more of a selection between a handful of guys that they like rather than one or two guys. But one of the, I think one of the questions that gets raised from the fact that this is such an impressive receiver class is, do you pay Brandon Ayuk, or do you trade him and draft his replacement? And I think, like I said earlier, I played around with a Brandon Ayuk trade. Mm-hmm. I traded him with the Jets, and I drafted Roma Dunze. And if that were the scenario, I think I'd be okay with that scenario.
You have to get a stud if you're doing that.
And that's the thing is as easy as it is to think about or say, why don't you just trade Brandon Ayuk and draft one of these stud wide receivers in the first round to, you know, wherever you end up trading him to, whether it be Indianapolis or New York or whatever. But the problem is this is not, I would argue this is not, this is a quarterback friendly offensive system. This is not a wide receiver friendly offensive system. It's a very difficult offensive system for wide receivers to learn and to flourish in. And there are certain aspects of your game that you have got to be good at, or Kyle Shanahan is not going to get you the ball. And we already know that Brandon Ayuk is all those things. Right. So it's to me, this idea of trading and then drafting is a little bit like, you know, here's a boat. Do you want a boat, or do you want what's behind door number two? Well, I have no idea what's behind door number two. It might be better than the boat. The boat's pretty nice. Right. It's hard to go, but you know, it's that draw of the unknown. And I think for this team, Brandon Ayuk is young enough that you feel comfortable paying him and having him be your wide receiver one, mm-hmm. from 2025 to 2029 or whatever.
Sure.
Because he's proven that he can be already. Could Roma Dunze be that? 100%. Could Malik Nabers be that? 100%. Could Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU be that? Possibly, right? But you don't know. You know what they look like in college. You know what they look like running a 40. You know what they look like catching passes against air. You can watch tape and know what they look like in college. You don't know what they will look like in Kyle Shanahan's offense, but you do know what Brandon Ayuk looks like in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and that's an all-pro. So to me, it's like, it's a non-starter. You're going to extend Ayuk. He's an all-pro. You pay him the money. You have Debo and Ayuk for one more season, like we said, and then either A, you figure out a way to restructure Debo and he takes less money, or you trade him, or you let him walk, whatever. Yep. But I agree with you. They're not going to pay $50 million for two wide receivers. This will be Brandon Ayuk's team after 2024. And I just hope that they get that deal done earlier rather than later, because I think that helps them really plan for the draft and for free agency as well.
Yeah, you can't go into the season where, again, you're a last dance type situation and say we're going to trade Ayuk and go with a rookie receiver.
They're not making the Super Bowl if they trade Brandon Ayuk. I can promise
that. It would be very difficult. So I think what you do is you keep those two, you keep Debo and Ayuk this year, and you draft, I think, maybe two guys. It doesn't have to be in the first round, but you get two. Again, so such a deep group this year. You get two guys that you hope can learn in 2024 and maybe step in 2025.
And I think one of,
or even just the third receiver.
I think one of those guys needs to be a speed guy, and then one of those guys needs to be someone, I think, similar to Brandon Ayuk. You're not going to find another Debo. Like, let's stop with that.
Right,
talk.
Right.
And you know, like I said, I don't think you need Debo with Brock Purdy as your quarterback. I really like, as like a mid-round guy, I really like Luke McCaffrey, Christian's brother out of Rice. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great pickup for them. I don't think that they're going to where I think they will take wide receivers. I don't think Brendan Rice will be available to them. I think he'll be, that's Jerry's son. I think he will have already been drafted. But there are some legacy players in this draft. Again, Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, Luke McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother, and then Frank Gore Jr., the running back from Southern Miss, who obviously is
crazy.
Frank Gore's son. Yeah.
Have those three people in this draft.
I genuinely hope that at least one of those legacy players ends up just as a storyline, because I think it'd be good. But all three of those players are also good. That's the other thing. They're not, they wouldn't just be like throw in like, oh yeah, we'll have you on our team. Luke McCaffrey would make this team. I think Frank Gore Jr. can make this team. Brendan Rice obviously would make this team. So I think it's time to load up on offensive line. Every mock that I've done so far, I take a tackle at 31 and I take like a guard or a center in the second round. And then from there, I start to fill everything else out. But you got to get, you got to take care of right guard. You got to take care of right tackle. You got to find another edge player. You got to find an interior defensive lineman. You'd like to find a tight end, maybe a couple wide receivers, another running back, right? Like there's plenty to be had. A nickel corner or an outside corner. So Diamador Lenore can play nickel full time. Like whatever the case may be, there's plenty of ways for this team to get better in the draft. And I have to think that they're going to, I think this is going to be, we already said it. It's an important draft for them. And I'm confident that they're, based on who they talked to at the combine, all that stuff, I'm pretty confident that they're going to get better along the offensive line. And this team in general is going to get better, and I'm excited about it.
Man, some people's genes are just unfair. McCaffrey, right? Watts, Bosa.
Well, look at Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, Arthur Harrison Jr., Gore, Rice. And we're two bald guys hosting a podcast. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
But bald Thank is beautiful. You. Hey, but one of the things that I love, Danny Kelly covers the draft for The Ringer, and he always puts out The Ringer draft guide. And every year, he does write-ups on, you know, I think he does like the top, it's either top 50, top 75, something like that. But in every write-up, he always gives like a comp, right? And it's always, it's never a serious comp. But he wrote up Marvin Harrison Jr. and his comp for Marvin Harrison Jr. was if Marvin Harrison had a taller son, that's who Marvin Harrison Jr. is. So it's like, perfect.
That's great.
Perfect comp. If Marvin
that's A-plus analysis. Right
if there. Marvin Harrison was 6'2", because that's what Marvin Harrison Jr. is. Like, how did that happen?
It's good stuff. I can't wait. Yeah. Well, hey, we got Chase Sr. coming on Wednesday with us from the 49ers report. I can't wait to talk to him. We've never had him on before. He was just at the combine, so we're going to talk to him about that. And get ready for free agency, because, Brian, it's next Monday is the tampering.
Yes, sir, March 13th.
Let's go. It's going to be fun. All right, we're out of here.
Later.
9-0-3! 1-2-3!
.400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.